Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we pray that at this time you would continue to speak your word to us. Give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and the will to respond to your call. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. Whenever I go travelling for the school, which I do probably a couple of times a month, I love talking to my fellow travellers. I know not everybody likes to do this, but I'm one of those people who do. So don't sit next to me when you're travelling. But just over 5 years ago, I had two of the most significant spiritual conversations of my life, both of them evangelistic conversations, as they turned out. One at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, and the next one flying from there back to Pittsburgh. Now, I had the joy in both of these occasions of lengthy conversations. Both of these people ended up putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time. They were fascinating and wonderful conversations. But one thing that was striking about them both is that when I told them that God loved them, it came as a complete surprise. It's like they'd never heard it before. They didn't doubt it or dismiss it. They were just genuinely surprised. Does he? So it made me think that of all the messages that we as a church seek to communicate, God is love. Frankly, I would have thought that was one we were getting out there pretty well. Apparently not. Clearly we need to move on to the next piece, which is to remind people that God's love is a holy love, as P.T. Forsyth reminds us. But it seems that we aren't even doing so well as we might have thought in communicating God's love. So this psalm that we just heard read and chanted together, Psalm 136, is a psalm that we need to come to afresh, knowing there are many people out there who don't know about the love of God. And there may be many people gathered here today who at least need to be reminded about it. God is sending us these love messages in all kinds of different ways. He wants us to know that he loves us. So as we think about Psalm 136, I want to notice the way in which God, in all sorts of different ways, is making known his love for us. It's this covenant love, chesed. This commitment, absolute commitment to us out of sheer grace. Not some sort of I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine kind of love, but an absolute commitment to be gracious to us. And we see it in his creation. That's really the first 9 verses. And then from 10 through 16, it's about the way we see God's love in his redemption. Particularly thinking there about the redemption of the Hebrew people out of Egypt, bringing them up to the promised land. And then from there on, 17 through the end, is about God's ongoing revelation of his love through providence. He continues day by day to make his love known to us. And it is that love that has inspired his creation, redemption, providence, that is to lead us to praise and thanksgiving. There are good reasons to praise his God. He is a God of love. It's known as a Hallel psalm. It's a psalm full of praise, tied very closely to the previous psalm, 135. Again, it's a hymn of praise. God is a God of faithful covenant love. And because of that, he has done things that demonstrate that character of faithful covenant love. And out of that covenant love, we are moved to praise by the grace of his Holy Spirit. So that's what I want to really focus on today, Psalm 136. So I want to start off by thinking about this first thing that we realise, that God's very creation reveals his love. He does these things for his steadfast love endures forever. That's the refrain, or in the version we just sang, his mercy endures forever. This steadfast love. So the very creation of God reveals his love. The first few verses of Psalm 136, I'm reading from the ESV. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. And then it goes on to talk about the God whose great wonders have produced the heavens and the earth. And what we notice is this goodness of God and this faithfulness of God, they both appear to us in the tangible realities of God's creation. We read right back there in Genesis chapter 1 that God created the world good, very good. The good God made a good world, and that is a cause for praise. So we notice that first up, but we also notice something about this faithfulness, this faithful love appears in the universe that we inhabit. His faithfulness, if you like, those very fingerprints are available for us to notice. But one of the dangers is that we mistake God's faithfulness for his absence. Because it's the same today as it was yesterday, we assume it just happens like that. No, it happens like that because God wants it like that. It's a faithful God who makes it the same day by day so that we can live in it with a proper measure of freedom. If for a little bit of fun, the heavenly courts decided they were going to just make a few adjustments in gravity. He's a little weary with this 9.81 meters per second squared. It's getting a bit old. How about a little bit more, a little bit less? Just wiggle it a little bit. Then they'll notice. But God wants to make us aware of his faithfulness. It's the same today and tomorrow and the next day because of God's faithfulness. One of the problems that the philosophers can't solve, induction. Why should something true today be true tomorrow? We know an answer to that. Because God's faithful. That's why we expect it the same tomorrow as it is today, as it was yesterday. Because God is faithful and he wants us to live in a world in which we can genuinely be his children, not constantly wondering, what's gravity going to be like today? So these things reveal his glory. I love the comment that Derek Kidner makes as he comments on these things. We're not here reading this psalm in order to be moved to wrangle about the cosmological theories, but instead to delight in our environment. To recognise that God has revealed his love, his faithfulness, his goodness in the world that we inhabit. He wants us to know about these things. Now, of course, one of the ways in which human beings have traditionally got it wrong, and we can read about this in Romans chapter 1, is that rather than allowing this good, beautiful world to point us to the good and beautiful Creator, we stop and we worship the creation itself. Nature worship. It's coming back in, of course. You will have noticed that so many of our programs about the world around us keep talking about nature, because they're not allowed to talk about God. It gets awfully close to nature worship. But as C.S. Lewis delights to point out, nature worship silences nature. And he's got a lovely image he uses in that book, his Reflection on the Psalms. He says it's rather like a postman coming to your door, and you're there so enamoured of his beautiful uniform, you forget to take the letters. God sends us love letters all the time. We've got to receive them for what they are. We're also reminded, one of the insights I think that Karl Barth, the great Swiss theologian, brings to us, is that if we don't have this insight, the faith in the loving God who's behind it all, then our unbelief leads us to disobedience, which leads us to ingratitude, an unworshipful life. I'm afraid as secularism rises, look out for that, friends. There'll be less thankfulness, less delight in the world that God has made. And we don't want that for them. We want them to know. We want everyone to know that this world itself reveals the love and faithfulness and goodness of God. He wants us to know these things. And that love should move us to praise. But then we move into this middle section where we discover more about the redemptive work of God. Because we're reminded immediately, of course, the world is no longer simply good. There is also evil in the world and lots of it. Sickness, sadness, suffering, death, these are now familiar components of our life. It was not created that way. But the untrained eye, the unopened eye, looking around the universe, has got plenty of reason to wonder if the God who made it is good. Because the day-by-day disappointments and sufferings and sadnesses, they don't talk about the goodness of God unless you know the fuller story. And so we need to know, not only did God create the world, but his loving kindness didn't simply cease when the fall occurred and we got into the crisis that we find ourselves still in. This love of God is then revealed in the rescue missions. And the particular one focused on in these middle verses about the way in which God brought about the rescue of the Hebrew people out of Egypt up into the promised land. He brought them out. He opened the Red Sea. He did it. He didn't simply say, you folks, you've made your bed, you can sleep in it. He said, you've made this mess, I've come to rescue you from it and restore things to the way I created them to be. And of course, we know about the still greater redemption that was to come after this psalm was written. when Jesus Christ himself came and entered the fullness of the sickness, the sadness, the suffering and the death. And he took the crisis of sin upon himself in order to overcome it. Not simply to remove us from Egypt to the promised land, but to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. From the kingdom of death to the kingdom of the living. It's an incredible transformation that this God has brought about. It's another sign of his love. And as St. Augustine and other theologians since have pointed out, God only undertook the great task of creation knowing he had the power to put right whatever might go wrong. It's another sign of his love. But he ends up in these last few verses coming, if you like, even closer to home. We continue to see this covenant love of God revealed in his providential care. So we're not just standing here caught between the great moment of Jesus' redeeming work and his cross and his resurrection. We're not just waiting for him to come back. We, even in this interim moment in which we find ourselves, we continue to see other ways in which God also expresses his gracious, persistent, faithful love to us. In his ongoing providential care, he is continuing to be involved in his world day by day, week by week, and year by year. Now, one of the ways we see it in this psalm is about the rising and the falling of the leaders. We see Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, they were brought down. God raises up and he brings down. He delights to raise up the humble and to bring down the proud. He is still doing it. He is still engaged in international politics. We need to continue praying that God will reveal his glorious kingdom in the midst of the daily acts of our daily lives. But it ends up even closer to home. It talks about the God who's remembered us in our low estate in verse 23. He's rescued us from our foes and he gives food to all flesh. Every meal you eat is a love letter from Almighty God. Every meal we eat, thank God for that. He sent it because he loves us. And he wants to repeatedly show us day by day he's taking care of us. I remember hearing someone speaking on these themes, and he quoted from George MacDonald. I haven't been able to trace the quote back, but basically this is what he said. Human beings want to be fed out of silos, vast abundance, but God delights to feed us by hand. We pray that God will give us this day our daily bread. Day by day by day, God says, here's today's food. We who live in a world of abundance or an area of abundance have much to be thankful for. Others are aware of this more day by day. God actually provides the food that we need and the drink that we need. And every good gift, it comes from the Father above. And one of the ways that we can witness to a world that's losing sight of these great truths is by being a thankful people. Thanking each other for the part we play, but first and foremost, thanking God that he's created a good, glorious, beautiful world and put us in it with extraordinary responsibilities. And that he's come to us in all of our need to rescue us from them. And that day by day, he's with us in our need, in our situation, hearing and answering our prayers, providing all that we need because he loves us. So the love of God, it leads to the mighty works of God, and it leads us to praise his God. So let us give thanks to the Lord our God, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.